Today on the John Ankerberg Show, what are the facts and evidence that can lead a thinking person step by step to belief in Jesus Christ? I've spoken on this topic to students on 78 university campuses, in stadium meetings and conferences. Today, I want to answer the question, what historical evidence shows that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Welcome to our program. I'm glad that you joined me. In our first program, we addressed those who claim to be atheists or agnostics, then began to lay a factual foundation that shows that Christianity is totally based on a real man who lived in real history, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we know that he lived because of 8 authors who wrote about him. Then we answered the questions, how do we know that these authors told the truth about Jesus? And did Jesus ever claim to be God? Now today I want to continue. I want to talk about what proof did Jesus offer people in his own day that his claim to being God was true? And what evidence do we have that Jesus actually rose from the dead? Come with me right now to Boca Raton, Florida, where I was answering this important question at a conference. Jesus called the shots ahead of time. He said in advance, I'm going up to Jerusalem, they're going to kill me, and then 3 days after that, after I've been in the grave, I'm coming forth again. Right, nobody believed him on both sides. You read the account. Nobody believed him. He went up to Jerusalem. The religious leaders took him. He went through 7 trials, monkey trials. He was crucified on a cross. A spear was put through his side. The blood and water came out. He was taken down off of the cross. He was pronounced dead. He was wrapped in cloth. The Jewish cloth, and inside every layer of the cloth, they put spices to the tune of 75 pounds of spices, just like a mummy. Then they took that body, all wrapped up, and they put it into a tomb. And then they sealed the tomb. And Jesus was pronounced dead, and he was gone. And yet, just a few days later, those crazy disciples that had run when Jesus was crucified were standing in that very town that had watched him murdered, and they were saying, listen, Jesus is alive. He's the Messiah. Kill God's Messiah, and you need to accept Christ as your Savior. He's the one that God sent. And they believed him to the tune of 3,000 at one meeting and 5,000 more in the same city at another meeting. How did they get away with that? Why did people believe? There are 2 facts that nobody can explain. One is the empty tomb. Empty tomb. They couldn't have been preaching that Jesus was alive if you could walk 2 blocks over to the tomb where he was buried and his body was still there, right? I mean, that would have been too easy to disprove. What happened to the body? What happened to the body? What do you think happened to the body? That is something that has to be explained. Something happened to the body, and we know that the body wasn't there. The tomb was empty. But just a few weeks later, the disciples were standing in the very city of Jerusalem, and they said, the answer to the riddle of what happened to the body is Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to us. We believe it. We don't care if you kill us. Here we are. That's what changed the disciples. That's the only thing that makes logical sense. The second thing that you have to explain are the people that said that they saw Jesus alive after he was crucified. Paul says there were more than 500 people at one time that saw Jesus. In other accounts, you can find 10 different times that Jesus appeared to different people along the way. Now, what is the theory that accounts for what these people were saying? The main theory today of what was happening was hallucination. These people were hallucinating. That is, that they were imagining something as if they were seeing it, but there really wasn't anything there. They were just imagining it. Now, in group psychology and depth psychology today, we know a couple things about hallucinations. Number one, we know that if one person here is having a vision and the other person is having a vision, most likely they're not having the same vision at the same time. You don't have stereo vision. Okay? Because it comes out of your subconscious. It comes from your background. And so you're not going to have the same vision. Secondly, it is among people that expect it to take place. For example, if one of the accounts said that Peter and John and James were with Mary and the other women, and they were in this off the way home, a little hut, and they had all the blinds shut, the door locked, and they were all sitting around, and it was dark inside there, and this is one of the places that Jesus hung out before, and the fact is while they were sitting there, the candle was kind of glowing, and all of a sudden the wind kind of blew up, and the drapes went up, and the candle went out, and all of a sudden Mary says, "I see Jesus, I see Jesus." Peter says, "Yeah, there he is." Now see, that would be a little bit of a problem for me, wouldn't it, for you? You see, they had to be expecting it. They had to be in one of those spots where Jesus was near and dear to them before. And if that was the case, then we'd have a big problem. Maybe they were hallucinating. But where did Jesus show up? Where did Jesus appear? It wasn't in those kind of places. It was on a busy road to the city of Emmaus. It was down at the beach in the morning. He had lunch with the guys a couple of times. He appeared on the top of a mountain to 500 people. The hallucinations took place in spots where hallucinations do not take place. Think of the 500 people that saw Jesus at one time. If those people were hallucinating, then you have to say there's such a thing as group hallucination. 500 people all tuned into the same vision. No. They were eyewitnesses, and this is what changed their life. Changed their life. I want to close with something maybe that you haven't heard about before. There are also, I feel, about five different reasons that you have to account for that go right back to the resurrection. Number one, you have to account for the origin of the church. Here we are. We're a church. Where did it come from? Well, somebody started it. Well, who started it? A Christian. Where did he come from? Well, another person won him to the Lord. Where did that person come from? And you go on back in history, and you finally come down to the start. Where is the start? Right about the time of Jesus. Right at the time of Jesus. Now, why did the church start? It's because they had said they had seen Jesus Christ alive and had shown them that he was God, and he had told them as God to go out and tell everybody that he had risen from the dead, he had conquered death, he had paid for the sins of the world, he was the Savior, he could forgive their sins, and that's what they preached. You look at the sermons all through the book of Acts and you will find that that's what the fellas said. We saw him alive. We are witnesses of his resurrection from the dead. That's how the church started. That's the message that started the church. What in the world caused it? Could only be the resurrection of Jesus. That's what they said. There's something else. Do you realize that right at that time, we went to Sunday worship? And who went to Sunday worship? Orthodox Jews changed the day that they worshiped from Saturday to Sunday. Why? That's kind of an earth-shaking event. They kept it for over 1,500 years in the Old Testament, and all of a sudden, one day, they woke up and said, "We're doing it on Sunday, not on Saturday." Why? Because they had nothing else to do. They said, "We want to commemorate this day as the Lord's Day. This is the day that he rose from the dead. We will gather together. We will worship on this day." You give me any other reason that beats that one for why all of a sudden they started worshiping on Sunday. There is none. Where did this thing called baptism originate? The ordinance of baptism, where did that come from? What is it? Baptism is a pictorial display of what? Of Jesus going down into the grave, and you're identifying yourself with him, that I die to myself. And then what? When you come out of the waters, it's coming out of the waters into newness of life with Christ to serve him. That's the resurrection. That's what baptism means. Where in the world did that originate? Why did it originate? It originated right at that time, and they said, because this is what Jesus wanted, and it teaches what he did. He was buried, and he arose from the dead. That's what baptism is all about, and it goes right back to that time. How about communion? What's communion? The Christians got together, and they decided to celebrate what? The Lord's death until he comes. Why would you celebrate somebody's death? It's because he's not dead anymore. He died for us to pay for our sins, and he arose from the dead, and he's coming back to get his church. Communion, baptism makes no sense unless there's an actual physical resurrection from the dead, and it goes right back to the time of Jesus. That's when it started. All the scholars admit that. What is it based on? It's the resurrection. And I've got another one.
When we return, why is the resurrection of Jesus the only thing that accounts for the conversion of James, Jesus' skeptical brother, and Saul of Tarsus, the man who went about killing Christians?
And I've got another one. What about Jesus' own family? Do you ever remember his family? I'm talking about his brothers now, not his mother. His own brothers did not believe in him during Jesus' lifetime, did they? What were they like? Mark 3:21. Just listen, you don't have to turn there. When his family heard about this, Jesus and his claims that he was God, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Mark 3:21. John 7:3-5. Jesus' brothers said to Jesus, you ought to leave here and go to Judea. And they said this tongue in cheek, so your disciples may see the miracles that you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Why did they want Jesus to go up to this area and do miracles? Since you are doing these things, show yourselves to the world. And it says, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Why did they want him to go up there? They were trying to goad him into a death trap. If he showed up at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, they thought that the authorities would take him and kill him. And so they were saying, Jesus, why don't you go on up to Jerusalem and do a few miracles up there and make a few statements up there? And they would have been rid of him. Those were his brothers. Nice family, huh? Now, we don't hear very much about Jesus' brothers until Acts chapter 1, verse 14. But surprise, surprise, these fellas that did not believe in Jesus and actually tried to kill him off show up in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, where it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, talking about the first Christians, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and, goodness sakes alive, his brothers. What were they doing there? These guys that tried to kill him off didn't believe in him. Why were they there right before Pentecost? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul reports that when he visited Jerusalem 3 years after his conversion, he did not see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother, which seems to imply that James was now an apostle. The Jewish historian Josephus records that the Jews illegally and brutally stoned James to death for what? For his faith in Jesus Christ sometime around 60 AD. In 1 Corinthians 9:5, Paul mentions not only James, but Jesus' other brothers became believers. He says, do we not have the right to be accompanied by a wife as the other apostles and what? And the brothers of the Lord? And Cephas? These guys got converted. What changed his own brothers from not believing in him
to becoming apostles that went out and got killed for their brother. Paul says, in a nutshell, in 1 Corinthians 15:7, the reason why they got converted. After Jesus was seen to be murdered on a cross and crucified in front of all Jerusalem, after he was put into the grave, after he arose from the dead, after he started appearing to different ones, Paul makes this little crisp statement in 1 Corinthians 15:7, then he appeared to James. That must have been a meeting. How would you like to see your dead brother come back and say, I'm God, here I am? There's nothing else that you can attribute to these brothers of Jesus, why they would have changed, except what Paul said. They saw him after he arose from the dead, and they went out and served him, and they got martyred for doing it. One last one. What do you do with Paul, the old Saul of Tarsus? Saul was one of the Jewish authorities. He was the chief persecutor of the Christian movement. He was an extremely devout rabbi. He did not believe in this Messiah, Jesus, and he set about to kill his followers. According to Luke in Acts chapter 22, verse 4, Paul did the following. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priests and all the council can testify. That's the kind of guy he was. Something happened to him. And he turned from somebody that was persecuting and hunting Christians down and was adamantly against them. He changed from somebody that gave up the comforts of being a respected rabbi. He took the life of an itinerant preacher. It was a life full of toil, sacrifice, pressure, and unimaginable suffering. Paul, because of his change, was whipped 5 different times by the Jews, 39 lashes each time. The Romans also whipped him on 3 occasions. Once he was stoned and left for dead. 3 times he was shipwrecked. Once he was afloat in the water for 24 hours. Robbers were there to threaten him along the highway. Jewish and pagan adversaries were seeking to kill him. He experienced hardship. He went without food. He didn't sleep sometimes. He was poorly dressed. He had no place to stay. And eventually, he was martyred for his changed beliefs. He was one of the most remarkable men who ever lived. And it all began right around 35-36 A.D., Why? Paul says the reason that he changed was he saw Jesus Christ alive on that road to Damascus. That's the only thing he says. That's what got him. Now you take, where did the church begin? Where do we start with baptism and communion? Where do we get the change in the brothers of the Lord? Where do we get the change of Paul? What do you attribute that to? What would have persuaded these tough nuts to crack? They said, every one of them, the same thing. We saw Jesus Christ alive after he was crucified. He's alive. And they went out and served him, and they changed the world. And the question, the very important question is this, do you know him? Because the Bible says, quoting Jesus, you're going to stand before him someday. And he's going to say, did you accept my offer? Did you accept my forgiveness? Did you accept what I did on the cross for you? If you believe that Jesus Christ is God, if you look at all of this evidence and you say, yes, he's God, then right now, tonight, would you invite him to be your Savior? And let him change your life and make you a Christian? He says that he will if you'll invite him into your life.
For additional resources, log on to jashow.org. That's jashow.org.